Hello everyone, welcome to the Smashy Business Show, yet another episode. Today is Monday, October 14th, 2024. As I always say, we're in the Q4. Everything is happening here in the business world. And the most important thing that I can tell you today is Jitex Global has started in Dubai at the Dubai World Trade Center and Dubai Harbor. It has divided itself into two locations. Mm-hmm. They're very near, but yes, it has divided itself because there's a lot of sub-events that are happening under it. There is an AI event, there is a fintech event. So Jitex has started. There's a lot of news about how to approach it, not take your personal car.
I would suggest. We did talk about it on the Love Dubai show where we mentioned how to avoid traffic and be able to go and enjoy Jitex.
So whenever I went to DWTC, I would always, even in normal days, I would always park my car somewhere.
Or go metro.
And a free parking, or at least a very cheap one parking, where like 2 or 3 dirhams are there for 1 hour. And then I would go to DWTC by metro. That's the best way, I guess.
Because
metro takes you right in front of it. You have to just walk like 2 minutes and you're inside the Dubai World Trade Center. Jitex has started at 10. Right now, as we speak, it has just kicked off. I guess the ribbon cutting ceremony and everything has happened. Yesterday, on Sunday, His Highness Sheikh Hamdan also visited North Star, which is happening in Dubai Harbour. So there, the exhibition and everything started yesterday. Jitex Global is opening today. RTA has a very long plan for it. They're trying to maintain traffic. So
they
that's the good part.
They are, and even we talked about it on the Love in Dubai show. There's a new bridge on Al Khail Road.
Which has opened,
and it's supposed to cut the traffic time from like 15 minutes, to 3 minutes only, which is really good. It's amazing.
It's good for the people who are traveling by car.
That's
but
true.
Again, 100%. Use public transport as much as possible. Be safe on the roads. Don't try to rush. Go at an earlier time if you're traveling to the World Trade Center, or if you're traveling on that road, because there'll be a lot of traffic. Everyone will be trying to get in early. But try to avoid, always check your route wherever you're going. Always check Google Maps, Waze, whatever you can, and be careful. Let's talk about whatever happened on the weekend. There's a lot of things that happened on the weekend.
So, which is what I want to ask you. So, Tesla shares have dropped. I want you to tell me why. What happened?
So, Tesla, we saw it was very clear that they brought all the lights and all the things that look good at the V-Robot event last week. It happened on Thursday, so it was like late evening here. But we saw there was a robotaxi. It looked like a two-seater because it had butterfly wings. It opened up. That was great. There was a robo-van. A lot of people came out of it. They said that it can accommodate up to 20 people, but when they showed the inside, people would be scrambling for space if there were 20 people. So Elon Musk presented the future for us, but the shareholders for Tesla, they had a problem with it. They thought that it was not up to the standard and the details were missing. So Robotaxi, he sat in it, it drove around and came back, he got off from it. But no one understands that how would you accommodate only two people? Is there a backseat? How does that operate? Apart from that, the Robotaxi, investors were looking for a ride-hailing service app coming with it, like Kareem, Uber, all these things. Yango we have. We have so many ride-hailing apps. So investors thought that he would present an idea at least of the ride-hailing.
Something like that.
Yeah, but he completely missed it. He completely either forgot it, which is impossible because he doesn't forget anything. So they skipped over it. So the plan is there. They gave a price range for it as well. The RoboVan, the taxi, they're nearly around the region of $20,000 or $30,000, which is usually for a new car in the US. And they're trying to launch it this year, the Robotaxis, to people. They're trying to give those as cars to people to check that check it out. The northern part of US, they're going to launch it. So a lot of things happened. But the investors were not happy.
I mean, of course, because like, you know, like investors, when I think how their investing mindset or thought process works, is the fact that, you know, it needs to be convenient.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the Robotaxi was so not convenient because like they knew that, you know, like if it's not going to be fitting and if it's like a two-seater, then how would that be convenient to actually invest in that and later on maybe accommodate to the public.
And again, details are very important, I believe. Mm-hmm. I would have, if I was an investor, I would also be like, okay, sell the stocks. there's something fishy going on. Because again, if you're not telling the details and you're just creating a show for people, that means you're hiding something. And I don't know what they're hiding. The Optimus robot was the highlight for me. They're supposed to be house help robots. They can pick up glasses. They can pick up your mail. A lot of features were like they could break into crazy dance moves. That was the part. I saw a video around 2021. A man who wore a robot costume was shown dancing at a Tesla event. And now they actually presented those robots and they were breaking a move. There was videos of people having conversations with the robot.
That's
so true. One guy asked him, like, what's the worst thing, like, what is the most difficult thing about being a robot?
What was
and he reply? Said that it's learning to be human enough to interact with you.
I had seen the video and let me tell you, I freaked out. Yeah. I'm like, I was like, there's no way, because like, you know, in a world and a time where like, of course, the shift towards technology all happened after COVID had kicked. However, of course, like seeing the video just like makes me think in a way that, you know what, our world is actually shifting into a digital AI control world.
I would say it's becoming an episode of Jetsons. I don't know if the new generation have seen those cartoons. They had Skype, they had Zoom, they had everything in the cartoon. Like, it's a very old 90s, 80s cartoon. I was a kid when I used to watch these, and but they've like disappeared after that. But it had flying cars, flying taxis, it had everything. So
true.
I guess it's just like an episode, like Simpsons.
Anything
that happens in the world, Simpsons has an episode
and that's
about
like, that's creepy, you know what I mean? But I genuinely think,
would that, you keep a robot at home for help?
But still, you know, like the human factor is still missing. You know, like robots can never be human. And as well, like, you know, we go like, oh yeah, they're going to steal our jobs. I actually, our CEO Richard knows I fear AI. I used to say that all the time. Like, I fear AI, I fear AI.
Yeah.
But then I came to realize that AI might be able to do your job, but nothing can do your job better than a human, like you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No.
The human factor, the it's a very missing factor, and that can never be installed in robots.
No, in regards to AI, I remember I was reading a column from some AI scientists recently, and his opinion was that AI will do all the menial tasks, the mechanical tasks that humans have to do. For example, typing. Just take typing. We are very good at typing. But it still took us time to write a 3,000, 4,000 page report.
Yes.
AI can do it like this within a minute.
Exactly. And
so
then if you proofread it.
It'll take that part, but it'll give you more time for creativity.
That's true.
Yeah. So if you're spending 100%. 1 hour on writing something, now the writing part has become like five minutes hardly.
That's true.
The only thing that remains is 45, 55 minutes for you to think about it, the angle, what you're writing. If you're writing book, anything, you have more time for that creative freedom. So that's
100%.
The good part.
100%. I do agree with you. However, like speaking of the Tesla shares, I would like to believe that Elon Musk thought of it in a very smart way.
Yeah.
He thought in a way that, you know what, if it's a two-seater, because like why would anyone get in a taxi, like if it's a lot of people? Yeah. But if only one person gets in the car or two people get in the car, the robot taxi, then more cars, more of the robot taxis are going to be on the road. Which
and maybe
is,
people will use RoboVan then.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going alone, RoboTaxi is cheaper. If you're going in
with
like numbers, maybe you can hire a RoboVan. So yeah, that happened. There's a lot of details that will eventually come out. So we'll talk about it, obviously, on the show. Moving on to Elon Musk's another venture, SpaceX, which is like the second biggest funded startup in the world right now. There's ByteDance, there's SpaceX, and then there's OpenAI. They recently closed $158 billion valuation, got $6.6 billion in venture funding. MGX, one of the subsidiaries of G42, was also a part of it. So SpaceX has got its rocket booster back. It's in the history, the first time in the history that it has happened. Usually a rocket is very simple. It has two parts, one part which houses the people who are going somewhere,
that's
like
true.
Moon, Mars, wherever you want to go. Musk's plan is for Mars eventually, but going to the moon is also one of the things that you do when you sit in a rocket. But there is a booster part, the under part, which boosts you to the Earth's atmosphere, and then it disconnects and falls down. So he had this idea that we should try to cut the cost, make it cheaper to go to moon or to space. So he wanted to catch that rocket back and reuse it. So he did it with Starship. Starship is their main, what would I say, rocket, main idea for the rocket. And Starship went up in the air yesterday in our evening time in UAE. Mm-hmm. And the booster came back. While it was falling down, I remember, out of the 33 engines which it has, or 33 boosters it has, three like burnt up again. And then they guided it very nicely back into a very big, giant structure. It was like an arm, so it caught it. And this is the first time they experimented with it, and it was successful. That's the good part, that they caught the rocket booster. And it is like one, the very, very first baby step that they've taken to make space travel cheaper. This is not something that you would see normally. People don't like to catch rocket boosters back. This happened for the first time. It's a historic moment. Again, we'll have more discussions on it, whether they'll start moving people soon enough out in the space. People are still going. A lot of people pay a lot of money just to be there, just to look at the Earth from space.
That's true.
But yeah.
Yeah. As well, I remember there has been like a trip to Mars, kind of like a campaign that was there. And I remember thinking like, we are now like living in a world of like, you know what, the whole universe as a whole is all, you know, taken into consideration. And
I guess
maybe
people are bored of the attractions on Earth.
I don't know.
They just want to
like,
go to space now and have something new.
Yes, 100%. And
I guess the rich people have a lot of money. Talking about rich people, recently in the morning we did a story that one guy bought a 8 million dirham number plate at an RTA auction. The number was AA17. It's a very rare number because AA you get very difficult.
Yes.
So he bought it for 8 million. So just like trying to put something in as well. So SpaceX, they successfully caught their rocket back. Good thing. We'll have more on it as things develop. Obviously, every day some news will come that how it will affect it, how much cheaper will space travel get.
Sure.
Talking about space now, one small thing that we want to talk about as well, COP28, everyone knows it happened in Dubai, Expo City, very big event last year in November. It was a 7-day event, but they extended one day. In the history of COP, it has never happened that they extended a day, but they did. In the UAE, weird things or special things happen. They extended a day, and Mr. Jaber, His Highness, His Excellency actually, Sultan Jaber, who is the head of ADNOC, he brought everyone to the table, 198 countries, and they signed the UAE consensus. And that was one of the historic moments that happened in COP over the like last 27 editions. The COP29 is happening in Azerbaijan, Baku. So before that, they've released a small documentary.
I believe it's called Eye of the Storm.
Yeah, Eye of the Storm.
So that's beautiful.
Yeah, so it shows you how it all happened. Go watch it, enjoy it. It's a very big moment. A lot of people don't talk about COP that much. It happened. There was not, I was here, so I, as a journalist, thought there was not enough coverage on it, like good coverage on it. There could have been like 1 million things that could have been done about it. But it, as a person who lives in UAE, it was a very proud moment that they hosted COP.
By the way, 100%, because like, you know, we have, over the past years, we have heard over and over again about how the UAE is prioritizing the environment.
Sustainability, you know, whether it is key to everything.
You know, like, oh, like, you know, not using plastic bags, shifting to paper bags, maybe not having many cars on the road.
There's not just like these small steps.
Yeah.
It's like at the government level, at the highest level, sustainability is the topic. Whichever company you look at, they have now their own sustainability officers. I always thought, what would they do? But we recently hosted, I remember, a guest from Tetra Pak, one of the biggest packing companies in the world. And he told us about how it is very important that from the first moment a carton is made, then it is it goes to its final destination and then it comes back. So there's a whole circle, there's a whole value chain that they created. Their sustainability is very important. Again, it was coming from an expert, so I understood it better, that value chains are very important. And then he told a story, I remember, that there's a dumping station here in Dubai or maybe Sharjah. Usually they used to charge like 10 dirhams for one big truck, and now they're charging 100. So companies are now reducing their waste actually, because they don't want to spend a lot of money on that.
And as well, by the way, like mind you, that this awareness came again, sorry to bring up the hard times after COVID, because like what happened is during COVID, there were not many cars out, you know, in the world or around, driving around.
Feel it in the air that I could breathe easily.
There was even like a, I remember there was like a demograph of the world and specifically Dubai. I remember watching it and seeing the picture of like how the air around was before versus how the air was during COVID when everyone was in lockdown.
Right?
It was way better. It was, you know, like there weren't any toxins around.
Yeah.
All of that because of the carbon that it's emitting out of the cars. So and ever since that happened, I think the UAE looked at that demograph and then thought in a way that, you know what, that's good.
We need to be.
That's it. We need to
go back
there.
To that level. Yeah.
Let's go back.
So, all this stuff. And then there's UK. British media mogul, he's a UK British media mogul, Richard Desmond. He has gotten a Dubai golden visa. So the news is he's the former owner of Daily Express and Daily Star, two very big publications in the UK. And he has secured a golden visa. The golden visa basically allows high net worth individuals and entrepreneurs to reside in Dubai without like renewing their visa after every 1 or 2 years. So it highlights UAE's strategy that they want to bring all the rich people here. We always talk about the companies that are coming here at the Abu Dhabi Global Market, at the Dubai Financial Center. They're all moving here, setting up regional offices in Dubai, in UAE, in Abu Dhabi, even in Saudi. And this guy coming here shows that the trend is not stopping. It is continuing. Africa's richest man recently also set up his family office in Abu Dhabi. So it's good news, again.
It really is. But you know what, as well, now, of course, people are going to be like, why do we care about this?
Yeah.
You know, why does it matter? If you remember, we talked previously that how Dubai is actually attracting millionaires.
Yeah, 6,700 millionaires literally moving to Dubai this year.
Yes, and as well, a lot of millionaires are actually abandoning the UK.
Yeah.
So this is really major. It's big news because, like, this decision of you know, the transformation, of course, reflects a wider trend of, you know, affluent UK individuals considering overseas relocations, as we said, due to concerns about the UK's shifting political landscape and potential tax hikes. Now, the tax is a very important part to every businessman, because like you don't want to be a businessman and losing all of your money on tax.
Yeah.
For sure.
And in Dubai, everyone knows there is no income tax, and there's a lot of things where you can get levy on tax. And if there is tax, it's a very clear cut, 5%, 6%, whatever the amount is, it's very clear. There's 100%. No rise annually like, oh, this year is 15, next year it'll be 25%. So they're very good with their taxation. That is why people prefer this area. And again, it's becoming a business hub, the UAE and the whole region. Including Saudi and Egypt. Egypt especially, I would always say, for startups, it's becoming a very good environment because a lot of Egyptian startups and the startups that are based in Egypt, they're getting a lot of funding. They're the third preferred destination in the Middle East for people who want to invest in startups. And I remember we had Exit Mina, CEO, co-founder, come on the show. I was not there. I remember Rich did his interview and he said a very important thing, that Egyptian pound coming down, it's making the startup acquiring, like M&A activity, basically, if you merge with the startup or you buy them, it's becoming cheaper. So if I am an investor, I would go to Egypt and buy a startup for 5 million, which would have costed me around 15 million.
Yeah.
So that is why Egypt market is becoming very bad for the Egyptian founders.
Yes, but good for
investors. Yes. And that's also eventually, see, whenever Egypt stabilizes, Saudi mm-hmm. is helping, UAE is helping, everyone in the region is helping Egypt mm-hmm. to an extent, because obviously they don't want to grow alone. They want to grow the whole Middle Eastern region.
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing is that Egypt, once it stabilizes, these startups, through the funding, maybe cheaper,
yes.
but through the funding, they will grow eventually.
That is
and
true.
And Desmond's arrival is very important for all the people who are in Dubai, who are investing in Dubai. Whenever a new person comes, whenever a new family office, whenever some venture capitalist or a big mogul decides to come to Dubai, it gives more potential to this environment that, yes, whatever we are investing, this guy is also coming. That means there is something.
There is something.
So yeah, it gives you confidence in the city and the country eventually.
Yeah, and I remember as well, we spoke about the investment that's going to happen with Suez Canal.
Yeah.
I remember briefly. But, you know, as we said, of course, the UAE is like, you said the UAE is helping, Saudi Arabia is helping, and as
the
well.
The whole region is becoming a nexus of
literally,
brothers.
Yes. Yeah. And we love it.
That's the good part.
We love it.
Yeah, we love it. Let's move quickly to two more stories. We took a lot of time today, but it's good. We're discussing a lot of things that happened
exactly.
over the weekend.
Exactly. I mean,
well.
Tesla. Yeah.
So Majid Al Futtaim donated $1 million. It has pledged $1 million. The money will go to the Red Crescent Authority, which is a UAE NGO authority, basically a it is a government organization actually.
Mm-hmm.
The $1 million will go to UAE Stands with Lebanon campaign. And Majid Al Futtaim, as we know, it's a very big homegrown enterprise. It's a big company. So the company has set up donation points across its properties and digital platforms. So you can donate money to them directly. You can donate money through the Share app that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Carrefour apps that you can use. So MAF Carrefour here in the UAE is run by Majid Al Futtaim. It's not run by the French owners. So you can give your money there as well, because again, putting in boycotts, I know a lot of people are boycotting Carrefour.
Yes,
MAF
true.
Has faced a lot of problems with it. But the Carrefour in the region is controlled by Majid Al Futtaim, and they're giving money. They pledged $1 million to the support. So you can always be safe when mm-hmm. you're giving money to them. And why it matters?
Of course, now people are thinking, you know, why do we care, or why does it matter? Because like this donation demonstrates Majid Al Futtaim's commitment to the Arab community, and as well, not only to the Arab community, as to the responsibility that the UAE has held as a country towards Lebanon. Because like we know that the UAE has is holding a campaign.
Yeah.
The UAE stands with the Lebanon campaign.
You talked about Lebanon Bay Show, right?
Yeah.
On Saturday, Sunday, they had a whole big campaign.
Today we talked about it. We talked about how they are holding like this donation
campaigns
in Expo where people can donate. And as well, I have seen the cutest video of a mother telling her daughter, she gave away her like a lot of things like food, milk, things like that. She was like, take them. And then she's like, oh, they're for me. And then she was like, no, mom, they are for, you know, the people of Lebanon.
Yeah.
And that is very sweet. And of course, so like this move by Majid Al Futtaim just like shows that he is actually standing in solidarity with the people of Lebanon, the Arab region, and as well the UAE, and following UAE's plans.
Yeah, and it was not only Lebanon. Before Lebanon, the whole crisis started, the invasion by Israel mm-hmm. started in Lebanon. There were a lot of efforts, a lot of money that went to help Palestinians as well. I remember UAE has set up two field hospitals. There's a floating ship hospital. There's like 1 million things that the UAE has already done. But this move comes from Majid Al Futtaim. Again, it's a homegrown UAE brand. So it reflects how UAE's commitment to these war-stricken areas is.
Mm-hmm.
The genocide in Gaza is still continuing. The crisis in Lebanon is still continuing. So these big firms coming in, donating money to the cause, again, really, really, really great move from them. And again, homegrown brand, so it's a great move by UAE. Let's talk about just one last story. I know, again, it's been our fifth story. Lastly, let's go to Tamkeen Human Resource Company. It's a Saudi startup. Now it's not a startup, actually. They're going public. So they've set a price range. They want to sell their shares between SAR, Saudi Arabian Rial, 46 and 50. They're trying to raise nearly $106 million from this IPO. The subscription period has already started. Institutional investors, individual investors, they can all subscribe to it. October 17th, the subscription period will end. The books will close. I was just explaining to Farah how bookkeeping is done. It's a complicated process. Not everyone understands it. Everyone just sees, oh, IPO is happening, this was evaluation. But it's a whole long, very complicated process. But in very simple words, they'll be selling their shares between 46 and 50 Saudi riyals. And the banks who are in charge of this IPO, they will open a book and they'll start writing that, mm-hmm. this person, for example, X wants to buy 1 million shares for 46 dirhams. But if another person comes and says, I want to buy 1 million shares for 47, mm-hmm. so they will go to the person who puts the highest bid during the bookkeeping process. It's a big company. It's doing very well in Saudi. So hopefully the IPO will be great and they'll get the amount they want.
Well, Tamkeen operates 17 branches actually across Saudi Arabia and as well holds a 4% market share as of 2022 and is aiming to capitalize on the kingdom's growing HR sector and investor interest in Saudi IPOs. Now, the company as well has shown robust financial growth with a CAGR of 17.6% between 2021 and 2023, serving over 1 million households and partnering with 36 global recruitment agencies. Now, this IPO could boost investor confidence in Saudi Arabia's economic reforms and the kingdom's vision for 2030 goals, diversifying its economy. Yeah. The other time, talk about 2030.
Yeah, so Saudi Vision is doing great things for a lot of companies that are going for IPO in Saudi Arabia. We talked about Majid Al Oud. Majid Al Oud, it's a very complicated name. I always forget it. But in Arabic, it says Al Majid Oud. But English, it translates to Al Majid for Oud. Mm-hmm. So they went on the IPO. Their initial price was 90. They're now trading at 158. Saudi riyal. So if you invested 1 million, you have now 1.5 million. Same with Tamkeen, they're going for an IPO. Their IPO was oversubscribed in the first hour. That means there's a lot of confidence that when shares actually go to the market, Tadawul, Saudi mm-hmm. exchange, and they start trading after the allocation of shares, they will actually go up. So there's a lot of confidence in IPOs in Saudi Arabia. So if you're an institutional investor, if you're listening, go buy it. It's not an advice. Stocks always come with risks. But with the trend that we've seen throughout the year with Saudi IPOs, the prices have either maintained or they've grown. So it's a good trend to see. If you're an individual day trader, I would suggest that look at it and see whatever suits you. Again, stocks come with risks. It's not a sure shot 100%. Money-making formula. Just look at it, see the trend, and then go for it. So we talked about a lot of stuff. We'll finish the show now. If you missed any of it, we did 6 stories. We discussed a lot of stuff. Tesla's Robotaxi, RoboVan, Optimus, how even after such a flashy show, the share mm-hmm. prices fell down. We talked about SpaceX successfully catching back their booster rocket. For the first time in the history, this has happened. We talked about that, and we talked about a lot of other stuff happening in the Middle East region. If you missed any of it, just go to our YouTube, watch it. Go to our Smash TV app, watch it again. You can follow us on all our social media channels. We're there everywhere. We're live on TikTok. We're live on Insta every day at 10 a.m. in the morning. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Farah.
Thank you.
For doing the Love in Dubai show and
thank
then
you.
Joining me as well. Today we're doing the Smashy Sports Show as well. The Smashy Sports Show is all about all the happenings in the region about sports, handball, volleyball. Our Smashy TV app also hosts a lot of live games. So if you're into sports in the Middle East region, you want to watch any team playing basketball, handball, volleyball, just tune into the Smashy TV app. Or go follow Smashy Sports on all the channels. Thank you so much for joining us. This was the Smashy Business Show brought to you by the Smashy Business Production. And we are a part of Augustus Media Podcast Network. Thank you so much. Take care. See you tomorrow.